Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening, everybody. This is Kenny Hodge, co-producer of Hodge to Hodge Podcast Radio. And I just want to say God is good. And I do mean God is good.
all the time.
all the time. And all the time, God is good. And I especially when he sprinkles his ever-loving gifts on certain people. In particular, let's speak about the one, A.K.A. King James. I just want to. I thank God for allowing King James to be King James, and I'm glad that the Cavaliers won. But no, honestly, I'm glad the Cavaliers won. And I'm gonna leave that right there. We're probably gonna visit that a few more times throughout this podcast. But I'm gonna leave that right there for right now. But hey. As always, I got my right hand, my big brother. I got the messenger on call. How we doing, brother messenger?
I'm truly blessed.
Not really, brother, because you're still breaking up.
You're breaking up, yeah.
Oh.
How you doing, Nurse Carmen?
I'm doing well, thank you. I'm doing well.
Okay. All right. Well, again, Sunday evening. You've probably spent a good part of your day sitting in somebody's church, as they said in the movie, crying and asking people for stuff. But here we are in the comfort of your home, about to receive a word from the messenger pertaining to, you know, again, getting you closer to yourself, which means you're going to get closer to God. Which means you're going to be a better you. And that's what that means.
Amen. Is that any better?
I still got feedback coming from. Okay. All right. I don't have any feedback right now. But okay. Yeah. Talk to me, Brother Messenger. What's going on today?
I'm sorry, I'm just, can you just give me a minute? I'm just trying to get this. Okay, how am I doing now? Is that better?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. I'm just once again extremely blessed and honored to be here again tonight. Thanking God for allowing me to allow once again to have.
We can't hear you. You got really bad reception, and it's not even.
All right, bro.
Hey, but anyway, we're just gonna keep moving right along. And tonight, what we were gonna do is we're going to talk on a story, a fable. Out of the pericope of Genesis, dealing with Noah's Ark. And one of the things that we want to try to do on our podcast, The Messenger, is again, show. Sometimes we like to take stories out of the book of the Bible and just try to lay them out for you so that you understand that that's not exactly how it happened. Or if you look at it, it just don't make sense the way they want you to believe it happened. Now, let me say this, and again, we are not slashing the Bible. We are not smashing the Bible. We're not doing anything with the Bible, but using it as a reference as some of the things that you really want to wrap your head around and understand that that could not have happened. Okay. So, again, it's not a Bible smashing. It's not a Bible making fun of, a Bible lessening. Because, again, people, until they come into the understanding that you really don't need this book you call the Bible, until you arrive at that point, anytime anybody says anything that differs from the Bible, you would tend to go into a defensive mode and kind of shut down listening and shut down the ability to reason. But we're going to give that attempt, and we're going to not give that attempt. We're going to do that on this podcast. And tonight what we're going to talk about is out of the book of Genesis, Moses.
Noah.
I'm sorry, I stand corrected. Noah. We're going to talk about Noah because Noah actually, after Noah was 500 years old, he became the father of Shem, Ham, and what is that, Japhet? Do you know his other son's name?
No.
Brother Messenger?
No, I'm sorry, I don't. If I did, I couldn't pronounce him.
Japhet, okay. But Shem and Ham, these are the two individuals who allegedly God cursed, and this is why we, the curse of Ham. This is why we're black, and this is why, as per the introducers of this religion to us as a people, this is why we're black. This is why we're not supposed to have what they have, because we're still rebounding or recreating ourselves from the curse that God put on Ham. We start looking at in the book of Genesis that Noah's Ark. Now, again, and I say this for a point of levity, but really give this thought. Here we find ourselves. In fact, this was probably the first time. Well, no, it's the second time that, if you want to really go by the word, that there was something that took place in the world that God created, but He wasn't pleased with. And the first one was Adam and Eve eating that apple or eating that fruit from the tree of knowledge. And now we come up on the flood. God told Noah to go build an ark. And He gave him dimensions, so many cubits wide, deep, drop ceiling. He gave him dimensions on how He wanted him to build that ark. And He also told him, and come right out of Genesis, you're going to take two animals inside there with you. But the real base of the story that I want to put on blast tonight is God became so, and I don't want to use the word angry or dissatisfied with what He created, that He gave them a chance to get right, or Noah start building an ark. When the people didn't get right, as per the story, then He went and gave Noah instructions on how to build, what to build. So I think it was 8 people who got in that boat or that ark with Noah and all animals. And they were in there for months now, don't get me wrong. So God became dissatisfied with his creation, and He decided, I'm going to wipe it out, start over again. I don't know. How does that sound to you, Brother Messenger? That sound like something that, and this again, now you got to remember, we're talking about the book of Genesis right now. So we're still in the beginning. Talk to me, Brother Messenger.
Yeah. My brother, when you told me that we wanted to just have a little discussion on it and stuff, I was trying to do some research so that I could come with some facts and stuff of that nature. But as I read it, and as my own intellect would just not allow me to accept some of the things, well, not some of the things, all of the things, just as you stated earlier, it won't allow me to accept this as fact. Because as you stated with regards to God works in mysterious ways, supposedly. And that's only because we're not tuned in to understand his ways. So things that happen, we think they're mysterious, but they're not mysterious. There are things that are universally designed to happen. For every action, there is a reaction. And I, as I said, it's hard for me to wrap my head around a lot of these stories, because if I try to accept and understand these stories as they would have us to do based on faith alone, then what that does is that diminishes the power and the authority that God possesses. And so it's hard for me to do it. I try. I do some studying and looking up, but I just can't wrap my head around what they want us to believe. What they want us to believe. Every single animal, you're telling me that they all came to the ark. God touched just two animals, a male and female of each kind, and brought them to the ark. It's just, if the world was so terrible, according to this scripture and stuff, if it was so terrible, all God had to do was say, poof, be gone, and still left the two of each. He could have got rid of everything else. What was the ark for? What was all of this rain and stuff for? What did that symbolize? What did that prove? And even after doing that, the world still isn't like the way we're writing in the book that he wants it to be. And I just can't accept the fact that my guy can't get stuff right. He's just too good. He's just too awesome. He's just too amazing that he can't get it right. And then they say he can't get it right because of us. So once again, God, with all of his glory, all of his power, all of his magnificence, he can't get us in line?
Well, my brother, let me interject, and I'm going to read out of Genesis, the 6th chapter, verse 5. And I do say to the podcast audience, excuse me when you hear me get a little giddy when I tell you I'm going to read certain passages out of pericopes in the Bible. Because sometimes I find them to be a bit on the side of, wow, how could they have ever convinced me that this really happened? But anyway, here we go. Here we go. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on earth, and that every inclination of the thought of the human heart was only evil all the time. I'm going to keep going. The Lord regretted. Woo, hold on. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground. For I regret I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Now, I just read verse 5 through 8.
Uh-huh.
I mean, and if you stop and think about that, God said, and again, I don't really mean to keep asking the same question, because it is just as funny to me every time that I ask it. God said, he hate that he created human beings. Who was there to record that? who heard that conversation? Who has knowledge of that conversation? Who could even begin to think that they have knowledge of that conversation? You are now quoting words from God. It's just kind of different.
It's not different. It's still part of the buffoonery and the trickery that they are playing on us. And because they turn around and say, you just have faith to believe that. So you want me to have faith to believe that God did all of these weird things, but I can't have faith enough to know that God is inside of me and that is not the God that created this? He hated – it says in the word – we're in the book of Genesis, which lets us know that we're still talking about the beginning of time. We're still talking about the beginning of creation. And so since we're still talking about the beginning of creation, when God created this, it said when he created it, everything that he made was what?
Perfect.
So if everything he made was perfect, now you want me to believe that an angel who he created, which was perfect, okay, all of a sudden turned bad and got more power than God and took God's very creation and made it bad? And God just sat there and watched it? And then his terms of getting even was to create a flood?
That sounds like a vindictive person to me. Not only does it sound vindictive,
it doesn't sound like a god. It sounds like maybe a king, but not a god.
A narcissistic king at that.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That is correct. But not a god. Not a god that spoke all of this into existence. And so if by some chance, which is not possible, but if by some chance man deviated, I don't know how you can do it, but if man deviated from God's plan, all God had to do was speak the word and they get right back in line.
But again, that's only if he is a super powerful God. But we've taken him, again, and we may as well call God like Mr. Brown or Mr. Green. You know, because we made him a human. We took away all his superpowers. We did. We took away all his superpowers. And we make it seem as though he now has to get things done or he does things in the way we do them.
That's correct.
Yeah, we make an invention that's not right. We'll destroy it and start over because that's who
right.
we are. But that's not what God does. God don't make bad inventions.
You call them inventions.
I mean, inventions,
right.
people,
no, I,
creations.
I understand what you're saying, right.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
I mean, also,
yes.
he didn't have to keep going to the drawing board.
No, that's right. Everything that he made was good. I mean, and yet the other day we spoke on this. Think about the human body. All the complexities of the inner workings of the inner body. You couldn't be no poopa and create this. And so he was able to make sure the intestines and the little intestines and the food and the backbone and the knee bone connected to the all of that stuff. He was able to do all of that stuff, but then he couldn't have enough sense to channel our minds to do as he wanted us to do. If you've got enough wisdom and enough knowledge to be able to say, have the brain tell the toe, the foot, to take a step forward. That takes some work. Just know what, old people can't do that, can they? Men are making robots every day, and the robots ain't working nothing like the human body. And these people that are doing it, we call them great scientists, great everything, that are doing these things. And they have not come close to being able to replicate the human body. and all of its features. So that has to stand for some kind of greatness somewhere. And the greatness stopped in the creation. That's an amen, my brother. All right. amen with an ESPN. Huh?
Amen. Now, where'd that ESPN come from? That wasn't me.
That's my phone number.
Huh?
I have ESPN on my phone.
Oh, because I was trying to find it. All right. But,
yeah.
I was.
Would
I
you
was
say, did I do that?
Yeah, I would say, did I do that?
Did I do that?
And you know what? And watch this. And if you listen to man and you follow this book, you'll find that God is saying a lot of times in this book, did I do that? We said it as a joke, but if you read this,
hey,
understand
amen.
This. Yeah, amen. That's what God is. Did I do
that's
that?
That's right.
No, I didn't mean to do that. Let me wipe this out and start over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and that is so true. This is what our problem is. We keep trying to make God man like us instead of us trying to be more like God.
Amen, brother. Amen.
One of the most important things that was passed down to us is judge ye not one another. So if that was one of the instructions that was left on hand, he didn't say you couldn't. He just told you not to. He didn't say you was going to get, you know what I mean? So it's saying judge ye not one another. So if he's saying judge ye not one another, the stuff that other people do, we've got to stop focusing so much on what it is that they're doing and thinking that it's displeasing to God. Because God got this. And we've got to let loose and let God be God. We're too busy trying to set the perimeters for what it is that God wants, and God wants everything. And this is why everything is occurring, because it's all okay with God. It's just another experience. We look at it as something totally, totally terrible, and it's not as bad as we make it out to be. And what happens is, because we're trying to correct it, because we know better what God wants, then that's when it becomes a mess. Anything that we don't like, you could go into the Bible and find some place or some time where God decided to destroy it. And if these things were so bad to God, trust me, they would have never been in the first place. What parent is going to set their child up to fail? If I use the terminology that we like to use with God as the Father, what parent is going to set their child up to fail? But if we listen to these stories and this what God is supposed to be, that's all he did was set up traps for us. It even started in the garden. He set up a trap. And if God is the author and the finisher of our faith, don't you know God knew that if he put some tree in the middle of the garden and told them not, don't he know that they would have eaten it? Eaten the fruit? He's everywhere. He knows all things. But he want to test people? Why does God need to test you? Why does he need to test you? He want to test your faith. Test what? Well, he knows everything.
There's no need to test.
There is no need for a test, not from God.
So how do we explain the thousands of years that archaeologists was climbing in mountains trying to find out where the ark landed?
Only because they just want to believe stuff. They just want to believe
crazy,
because
man.
People. Yeah, well, because people say, and whenever they can't really explain stuff, the first thing they say is, "You just got to believe."
Well, you know what?
Now,
if you just got to believe, you got to believe that right from the beginning, the creator, the supreme architect of the universe, started doing things or creating people and things that he was not pleased with right from the beginning. Because you go from Adam and Eve, they disobeyed God. Well, excuse me, let's go back up. Let's go right from the beginning of time. You create some angels that you can't keep in line. And excuse the way I break that down, but you got some angels you can't keep in line. So one of them get out of line, leaves, takes others with you. And you're the all-powerful person, and you allow that to happen. For what? Or, excuse me, how can that even happen? But nonetheless, we fast forward to Adam and Eve, and then we go right up, and that brings us back to Noah's Ark. And if, and again, as chapter 6, verse 5 said, if God saw how wicked, the wickedness of man is the verbiage, how does God wipe us out with a flood, and hundreds of years later, thousands of years later, guess what? We got the same situation again. Are we serious?
Exactly.
So that's what God did. You know what I'm saying? We are right now, just like Sodom and Gomorrah, we are places where you got idolizations of other gods. So God wiped this out because he wasn't happy. But his creative ability or genius wasn't enough that the same problem, the same flaw, wouldn't keep reoccurring. Come on, people.
That's because, if you remember, we had a topic on illusions. And there are 10 illusions that we have that, because we have them, we keep creating stuff to fit those illusions. And this is why we can't get it right, because we're still holding on to those illusions. And just in case people don't know, the first illusion is that God is in need. We believe that need exists, that there is a need for something, and there is no need for anything. That's the first illusion. You know what the second illusion is? That failure exists. We believe that God can fail. There is no failure in God. If he doesn't need anything, how can he fail? Let me tell you what the third illusion is. The third illusion is that we are separate from God. We believe that we're not connected to God. So you put those three things together, and now you can start to understand a little bit better how these stories and stuff are beginning to form. And one story to another, because all of these different things we don't believe. We believe that there isn't enough. That there isn't enough food, there isn't enough money, there isn't enough housing, enough land. This is things that we believe, and there is enough. God, when God did this, he did it perfectly. It's our thinking that has us thinking all of these crazy things. We think that there is a requirement. We think that in order for us to get in tune with God, that there is something that is required of us. There is no requirement of us. Why? Because God has no need. So if he has no need, what is required? But we think that there is a requirement. We think that there is judgment. We think that God is going to judge us. We think that not only is he going to judge us, that there is going to be condemnation. And because there's condemnation, that there are certain things that you should do, and there are certain things that, because other people did something, that they are going to get the judgment. These are things that we believe. We believe that there is superiority. We believe that some people are better than other people. With all these different illusions and stuff that we believe, what happens is they create, this is how these stories come into existence. And because these stories come into existence, then we believe them, because we believe that God had to wash everything off the flood of the earth. because of condemnation, because of judgment. These are the things that we believe, and so this is why people can go along with these stories, even though that they're so far-fetched. But because we believe in the condemnation, and because we believe in superiority and things of this nature, these is why these stories can continue to go on and on and on, and people, even with the greatest intelligence, have a tendency to believe it. Because they do believe in judgment, condemnation, superiority. And the Bible clearly tells you, love ye one another as yourself. Why? Why does the Bible tell you that? Why is the Bible so adamant that we love one another as thyself? Or treat thy neighbor as thyself? All of these say, why does the Bible say that? Because the truth of the matter is, and it's something that we cannot accept, is we are all one. It's all about the Spirit of God that dwells in each and every one of us. Even those that we think are so wicked and mean and stuff of that nature, the Spirit of God resides in them. And just because they're not doing the things that we would have them do, or we think, quote unquote, God would do, we can't believe or accept it. And a lot of times the reason why these people do these things is because they are not aware of the God that is within them. But just because you're not aware of it does not mean that he's not there. And if he's allowing these things to happen, doesn't that mean he's all right with it? Now, some of these things bring about death and disease and sickness, but that's when you have to understand it brings it about and God doesn't do anything about it. Why? Because that's what we wanted. And because that's what we wanted, he's okay with it. And he's okay with it because he knows in the final analysis, when everything is said and done, there is only one place that you can come. And that's back to him.
Well, one thing I will say, I remember when we did our piece on Adam, Eve, is that the two Eves, is that the first Eve, or and we kind of drifted on, if Adam and Eve were the authors or the father and mother of all humanity. Well, now, here's where the rest of the world comes in, because when, again, staying in Genesis, if you move down from chapter 6 going over to verse 17, and he tells, no, so you go to verse 18, but with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. So at this point now, again, that answered the question before. Again, we're still, if everybody still came from Adam and Eve, it really doesn't answer the question. But if everyone came from Adam and Eve, now that whole generation of people, wherever you are, whoever you are, was washed away from the face of the earth, with the exception of the eight.
Everybody,
except for the eight people who went in the ark. So they would have to be the populators that we know today. Would that make sense?
Well, it makes sense. It makes sense if you want to believe that story. But think about this. If you were the family of Noah, okay? You were the family of Noah, and your dad took about, how long did it take him to build that ark? What was it, about 20, 30 years, or was it longer to build that ark?
I'm not sure.
And okay, but you see your dad out there forever and ever building the ark because God told him that he was,
100 years.
100 years. It took him 100 years to build the ark, okay? And then he finally built the ark. And then you see miraculously how two of each kind of animal came to the ark and went on board. Okay? Now, that's trillions of animals, but that's nevertheless. nevertheless, they all came walking on board. Lions and tigers and bears, oh my, they all came on board. And then you got on board with the lions and with the tigers and with the snakes and with the everything. You got on board with them. You closed up the door that nobody could get in or out. I don't know how you was able to feed all of them animals. I don't know how them animals got hungry and didn't eat the pig or the sheep or anything like that. But that's divine intervention. Okay, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But now, if you were able to witness that, how in the world could you get off of that boat after all of that and do anything wrong? And then you say, okay, well, how about it would be so instilled into my grandchildren that my grandchildren would automatically instill it into their great-grandchildren and so forth and so on. How could things get bad?
That's a good question, because again, it still goes, it draws the arrow back to the Creator, where we say, okay, again, we still have flaws in the process. But if you witnessed this, you came through this. You're right. How could you ever do it? If I'm sitting here, if I'm Noah, and I got a voice, God told me to build an ark. It took me 100 years because. At 500 years, when he was 500 years old, is when God noticed that, hey, this ain't what I expected here. And going by the Bible, it says in the 600th year is when the water came. So that's 100 years of just, and God said, you know what? I'm going to get y'all, but I'm going to give you 100 years to get right. And if you don't get right, then I'm going to wash you all away, and I'm going to start over. Not I'm going to think you right, or I'm just going to say you're right. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to have to do a mass genocide, get rid of everybody, and then we're going to start over fresh. And even if you believe that up to that point, you mean he got to do it again? He got to do it again?
And again?
And then he got to, and again. So there is no end to this cycle.
Right. But hey. And that's because this is, as I said, this is what we have to understand. The master knows who we are and what we are, and by definition eliminates the possibility of superiority from our single unfined expression and experience. The master looks down on no one. The master will not judge, neither condemn. The master loves without condition, not only other people, but life itself. And everything in life. For the master knows that everything in life is in him. And since he is that which life is, and there is nothing that life is that he is not. So once again, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So if we get rid of this illusion that we're separated from God, then we can start to see things different. If we get rid of this illusion that God is going to condemn us or that there is need, then we can see things different. But because we think and we think we're superior because we got people in the church, I hate to use it, but the pastor, even though they want to say that we are all one, don't tell me the pastor don't think he's greater than everybody else. But he is no more than anybody else. The Bible even gives you an illustration. It says that we are all part of the body. Just because you the toe don't make you more important than the pinky finger. But in our walks into thinking, we still think that we are different, that we are better than some other people. And we're not. We're not better than anyone because we are all one. We're just getting some feedback. That's because I was walking. I'm sorry. I got going there.
Well, you know, and I wonder, what was it about Moses that made him so special that he was the only person God saw favor in? What was Moses doing in his life at that time?
No.
I have to wonder.
No.
I mean, once again.
No.
I keep saying Moses,
Noah.
But Noah. Thank you, brother.
Right. No.
Yeah. Thank you. But my podcast audience is going to be like, wait a minute, Moses, he parted the sea so that Noah could drive the ark through. Get him right. But anyway, I wonder, when it comes to Noah, what about his life was so special? Again, I just try to look at this to try to find some kind of connection, only because I spent about 50 years of my life believing this. So I'm trying to see, again, not that I try to validate the Bible, because I'm not even going to attempt to do that, but I read it and cross-reference it because I'm curious in knowing what it was about the book that had me believing it. And as I read it now, it is so clear that it didn't happen the way it was transposed in this book. So when I reference the Bible a lot, I reference it from the perspective that I really want to see what it was about the book that had me so captivated and so believing in it. But now I find it hard to digest a lot of what I read in here.
And that's what I was telling you when I said I was trying to come up with some factual stuff on the ark itself. Because it's just unbelievable if you let go of the fact, and I go back to it again, if you let go of the fact of this need and this superiority and this condemnation and this separation from God, if you let go of these beliefs and start to get to know God for who he really is, then you would have the same outlook that you and I are coming to right now, that this isn't possible. This just isn't possible. God is everything, and we have to accept that. But see, what we want to do is we want to make God the ice cold water, but not the hot water. When God is the hot water and the cold water. We want to make God the Cadillac, but we don't want him to be the Pontiac. But he's the Pontiac, and I'm just speaking figuratively. All right? He's the Pontiac as well as the Cadillac. And we can't accept that. We think so highly of him, and then we degrade him so highly that he could create all of this, and then an angel that he created could go to battle and take over everything that he did. Everything he did, and the angel destroyed it, and he just can't beat the same thing that he created.
And again, I have to say, if he's washing things new, because that's what the flood would symbolize, if he's washing everything anew, why would he not wash out the so-called devil when I'm cleaning up to start anew? Is it that
because
he likes the competition?
Because technically that's where all the problems is coming from, right?
Right.
From the devil,
that?
That's where all the right. And once again, as we stated earlier, that same devil that, according to Scripture, he cast out of heaven into the fiery pit and said, this is where you will spend eternity. And from the looks of these stories and the things that people say, he hasn't spent a day there yet. Because he's too busy going to and from here on the earth. How you going to and from when he cast you into the bottomless pit? How you manage to get up out of that? What, he on parole right now? What? How can this be?
Free will.
We've got to stop. Yeah, but it doesn't say that God gave the devil free will. It was just humans he gave the free will to. That was part of the devil's jealousy problem, per se. I'm in direct communication with God, and I'm jealous about some guys on Main Street. I'm in touch with the Father. And I'm basking in his glory all my life, and I'm worried about some people on Main Street. I'm so worried and jealous about what the people on Main Street is doing that I would rather go to war with the Creator, a war that technically I know I can't win. It just doesn't make sense. And then they want to say, well, brother, there's just some things that can't be explained. And trust me when I tell you this. There are a lot of things about God that once we really get into knowing who he is, they can't be explained at this level just yet. But these stories can be explained, as the kids would say, BS. But we can't get out of our mind that, and I say this all the time too, if you really stop and think about it, 90% of the people look at God like the Wizard of Oz. He's some man up in the sky behind a curtain granting people wishes and doing this and doing that. Like that's God was so insecure with his creation that he got to monitor every movement that people make. You think so lowly, not only of God, but of ourselves. He put us here, and he gave us dominion over the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, the animals, the plants. He gave us dominion. You don't think he knew what he was doing? And his thing was, if you decide I've given you all of this stuff. Now, if you decide that you don't want this stuff no more, well, then you just don't have it. But is he mad? Why would he get mad when technically all he had to do is speak the word and it was back again? If somebody took $100 from you, would you be mad if all you had to do is say, boop, here goes another $100? And when I say mad, I meant mad to the point where you really ready to kill somebody or do somebody some harm when all you got to do is speak the word and it's here again. But we keep believing this stuff because it's what we've been told, and it's not really our foreparents' fault, because they were just relaying a message that they were told. And none
but
of
at
us
some point
really
we
got to
stop relaying that message, though.
Exactly. That's what I was getting right. You took the words right out of my mouth. This is what has to happen. We have to stop believing that. And we have to seek God for ourselves, not from what anybody has told us, not from anything out of those 66 books. Go to God yourself and let him reveal it to you. It's just that simple, but we still can't, because we can't get rid of the illusions, we won't do it. Because we're afraid that by changing the way we think, we're going to make God mad again. Now, mind you, yeah, I made him mad when, quote unquote, I went to the club last night. But I ain't going to make him mad by going to him and asking him, just what would he have for me to do? I'll take my chances of going to the club than rather questioning God. But if you're wrong, you're wrong. Does it matter how you're wrong? According to what they want you to believe.
Oh, okay. I got to say, well, since when going to the club is wrong? Since when enjoying your life is wrong. Yeah, I got you.
Right. No. Okay. All right. Yeah. No, I'm just saying if we go by what they want us to believe.
Well, we talk about, again, we went on a topic tonight with Noah, not Moses. We're going to have to do Moses maybe one day next week.
We're
going to talk about Moses again. But we talked about Noah's Ark. And again, the scripture would tell you that God became so enraged with humans that He just said, I'm going to wipe this out and start over. But if, again, like I said, even if you placate the story, you mean I'm going to wash this out, but I'm not going to wash everything out. I'm going to leave some of them, the devil and his army. I'm going to let them be. But we're going to start over here and see if the next specimen of human beings are strong enough to fight off the devil. Now, watch this.
Right.
I'm creating the next set now, but I got to wonder.
Right.
Gonna be, I mean, come on, people. Come on. That really, open up your heart and open up your mind. And it might sound funny, because if you're just being introduced to this, you can shut it down and say, well, they're making fun of the Bible. No, I'm not making fun of the Bible. I'm making fun of you for believing it, actually. But no, I was just kind of hard. But I'm not making fun of anything.
Right,
I'm just trying to get you to open your eyes.
Right. What is the definition of insanity?
When you do the same thing, expect a different result.
So are we trying to say that God is crazy?
I'm just saying.
Huh?
Yeah, watch this.
Is
watch
this
it,
what
how you say
saying?
I'm not giving you my words, brother. I'm giving you the words that's in the book. Huh?
That's right.
And again, everything we're talking about, and I know a lot of people might say, well, you just take passages, and anybody could do that and twist them to what they want. But there's just so many passages in this book that, folks, again, you can dismiss most of them. And again, still have peace in your heart, be a beautiful person, and do God's will without this book called the Bible. And again, it's I know most of the times we're talking about this Bible, but again, it is the reference that most people believe has been set here for them. So we have to, like a literary motif, we have to keep mentioning this so that you understand that this is where knowledge begins, when you stop referring to this book that's going to lead you astray.
Amen. You have to begin to look inside yourself. You did say that we were going to talk about Moses, but I just want, for those that are listening, before we bring up the Moses, I would like for everybody to take a moment and read the story of Buddha, of Buddha's birth. Okay? And then, so that when we talk about Moses, we can kind of talk a little bit. And not only that, but Jesus, the story of Jesus. All right, about Jesus and Jesus' birth. Read about Hare Krishna, who was here hundreds of years before Jesus. And Buddha. Buddha was here 100 years before Moses. But read their story about their birth and tell me what you see. Hare Krishna and Buddha. Read those and tell me what you see with regards to their birth. And see if something don't say,
We took the story from somewhere?
Yes, we did. Moses' story is the same story as Buddha, who was here hundreds of years before Moses. Jesus' story was the same as Hare Krishna, who was here way before Jesus. So it's not like Hare Krishna copied Jesus. It's more like Jesus copied Hare Krishna.
The stories. Yeah, I got you. The way they came into existence.
Okay. Well, exactly, yes.
Right. Well, you know, like I said, we're going to keep going through this book that you refer to as the Inestimable Gift. And I'm going to hopefully at some point, and again, if this is what you choose to believe after hearing a different word, a word that might make more sense to you in your everyday life, if you still choose to believe in this book and this organized religion, then feel free to do so. Because as you like to constantly remind the world, you have free will. But free will, and if you have education or the ability to reason, should land you in a position that you begin to understand your close connection to the Creator, and His breath is in you, His spirit is in you, and you are nothing without him, regardless of what your faith, your understanding, your belief is.
I'd like to add to that, but the religion you can totally do without. The Bible, per se, you can use it as a reference because it is great stories told by people. And what they are stories, but they're examples that people have left of their experience with God. And so I say you can use the Bible, but don't take the Bible as gospel. And that's where we go wrong. We take it as gospel because we believe any and everything of it. And it has meaning to it, but not in the way that we're taking it or that it has been given to us. And just an example, the things that Jesus did was great things. Because of who he was, but not because who you guys want to believe he is in that manner, per se. The Immaculate Conception and all that stuff, you want to believe that rather than believe that what Jesus told each and every one throughout his time here is exactly the same thing that we're saying, but we're telling you to look at what they've been teaching you in a different way. And it still lines up with what it is that Jesus was saying. And the reason why they wanted him killed, because he was trying to show them a different way. And the priests and all of those people, they were upset because he was getting ready to take, as they would say, they was getting ready to take stuff out of their pockets. And we can't have you taking stuff out of our pockets.
That's right, because when Jesus preached, again, no building. He walked around. The crowd got big enough. Again, usually by a mountain with water around it, so you got that good echoing. He preached, he fed them, and he left. And the priest began to say, wait a minute, if this man can come here and do that and just keep moving on, eventually people are going to understand, I don't have to sit underneath your tutelage forever. I don't have to meet you three times a week and a church for you to tell me some story of whatever it is that you were telling back then. He is showing you that if you connect with God, that's all you need to do. Hey, but listen, on that note, we got about 2 minutes left to go. So as we get ready to shut down, I just want to say tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock, I will be doing a special podcast. I've got some veterans calling in, and Brother Messenger, you being a veteran, I've got some veterans calling in. And tomorrow morning, me and some veterans will be discussing the American flag and the national anthem. It should be a very, very heated topic, because I'm certain that not all veterans have this allegiance to the flag that most people would like to think. And again, it's a veteran podcast, and I say that because veterans, we have a unique way of speaking. So if you have very sensitive ears, you might want to miss tomorrow's podcast. But anyway, hey, Nurse Carmen, can we say goodnight?
Good night, gentlemen. Thank you. Love you guys.
And Brother Messenger?
I say bless you all, and I'll do my best. You said 10 o'clock tomorrow. Just text me, brother, get a reminder, and I will definitely be on there, all right? And to all that are listening, please allow your mind to understand just how powerful and awesome you are. Bless you, and I love you all.
Hey, Kenny Hodge, co-producer of Hodge the Hodge Podcast. Again, if you like the podcast, please follow us on Blog Talk. Follow us on Facebook. Again, the podcast isn't going anywhere, but we would definitely like to grow our audience so that the word of the messenger, and that is no more than a word from God telling you, you're already where you need to be. Understand that and then act accordingly, whatever that may be. So with that being said, we'll let Mom take us on home. take us on Alpha tonight, and I say goodnight to the cast, and talk to everybody Thursday night with the messenger.
Bless you.